Blog Talk Radio.
I pray to you, God, whom I call Allah, that you connect our hearts as one and grant us like-mindedness to be able to move forward in a manner that will unify us on one accord, to honor our ancestors, respect our elders, and properly educate our children, strengthen our families, and rebuild our community.
We live. We live.
Reference to it's in reference.
Darkness knows a child is born. Mother sheds tears of dirt.
We live.
Welcome, everyone. I'd like to thank everyone for taking their time out to come and spend that time with us. And for that, we're grateful. I'd like to speak about LGBTQ, and I believe that from my point of view, I think they're being used as a vehicle to deny dealing with issues that affect us as a people. That's just my thoughts. I posted some information in reference to that. And I don't know if you heard me before, but we had a bad connection. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time out of their busy day to spend some time with us, to listen to us. And what I really would like, if it's any women on the phone, I would really love for you all to participate more. I really believe in order for us to change our conditions, the key two components is the man and the woman. Without the man and the woman, the family is incomplete. Yes, there's been times that men was able to raise children without a woman per se, and vice versa, where women have been able to raise children without a man per se. However, the times that we're in now, I believe that it's crucial to have both parents. Reason being, because men and women bring something different to the table. Men, at their best, brings guidance, structure, and discipline. And women bring nurturing, love, and understanding and compassion. However, from my view of what I've been seeing affecting the streets and the inner cities has been a lot of young males. And predominantly, they're being, you know, raised by women. So I think what is happening to the young males is they're having a disconnect with the male species. So by the time that they get out in those streets, yeah, they may cling to someone or get to know someone, but the emotion that is connected, I I gather to say that is not love, because you have individuals that claim to be, you know, tight with another individual that will rob them and kill them. So that is not love. And it doesn't have to be, and it's not for self-defense. It's over nonsense. You know, it's a crucial time, and it's a disease that is plaguing America, because now you're seeing more than ever people doing the mass shootings, and the faces are changing. It used to be young, you know, Caucasian boys. Now you have Asians, you have a black individual, so it's starting to change. So I believe that people are in pain, and a lot of these young brothers out here are in pain. Pain, we all know. When you're in pain, you inflict more pain. Pain produces more pain. So if you're in pain, you want someone else to feel that pain along with you. And it's happening too often where we as a community have to come up solutions to change these conditions. And really, the solutions are there. It's just that, are we committed enough and compassionate enough about what's going on with our young people and with our future? Because if you lose the young people, you have no future. And how serious are we about protecting our future? And it has a, I don't think a lot of the young males out there, the young brothers out there, I don't even think many of them have gotten a hug or had a man say that they love him. And when you think about that, in the times that we're living in, it's sad. If anyone, you know, has something to add to it, press 1 and come on in and share your thoughts, and share your ideas. I want to hear from both men and women, the brothers and the sisters, you know. I mean, we have to do something, and this situation with the gun violence goes beyond just us as American black people. It's happening all throughout the country. So they say that, you know, bringing, you know, gun laws would fix it. I don't think that's true. I don't think gun laws are capable of fixing what we're missing as a society. One of the things that we're missing as a society is, it's like we don't have a soul anymore. We don't have a conscience anymore. We don't have spirituality anymore. We're just floating around, and most of us appear to be like empty inside. We're only concerned with what we look like on the outside, and we're not building any significant parts of characteristics that will sustain us and help us sustain others. You know, it's materialism, you know, that seems to be, you know, the new way to express who you are, what you have, how much money you have, what you drive. it's more to that. It's more to life than material things, because the reality is everyone on this line and people who are not on this line have to depart from this physical form. Now, when you depart from this physical form, what is your legacy? What is it that you will leave behind other than the material things? What is it that you can leave that can remain doing something that's productive and uplifted for humanity as well as the people you belong to, other than, oh, he had a nice car, he had a nice chain, he had a nice house, he had a lot of money, other than those things? What is it? The things that we're going to have to rely on are our deeds, how we treat each other, how we show forth our own personality, how people look upon us as an individual. These are things that we're going to have to start working on. I'm pretty sure the majority of the people listening have some type of religious background, and the religious background, probably the majority of it, is Christianity. And with Christianity, there's supposedly two places where you can end up. That's heaven or hell, paradise or the hellfire. So what do you think going to happen? I mean, you know, most Christians that I've been around and the churches that I've gone to, it tells you that Jesus died for your sins. Now, if that was the case, then what do you need a hellfire for? That would automatically mean everybody going to paradise. You know, so you wouldn't even need a hellfire. So I don't exactly buy that as factual information. That somebody, because we've had plenty of people die for us, plenty die for us, and we're still struggling. So if Jesus died for our sins, that means everybody would be sin free. But people still committing sins. So I don't think that's accurate. That's accurate information about Jesus as an individual. You know, if somebody had more information on that, I'm open to listening. If not, I'll continue. It's tough living in America for everybody right now. With the prices and everything that's going on with the politicians, you know, as a 5%er, we call it politricks, where they're actually tricking the people, where they're actually utilizing individuals to continue to keep things going the way they are, the same run of the mill. I mean, the whole white supremacist, racist ideology is built to keep us separated. It's built, you know, for separation, to make sure that all human beings don't get together and start fighting these few corrupt individuals who their main agenda is money and power and control. And through that money and power and control, you see that they're actually losing control. They're losing control. I mean, things are out of control out here. But we as humans and at us as American black citizens, we have an obligation. We have a duty. What I do, my first alliance is to whom I wish it. And that's Allah, I call, who others may call God. My second alliance is to myself. My third alliance is to my wife. Then my immediate family, grandchildren, great grandbrothers, sisters, then extended family, cousins, uncles, and the rest. And then to my people. And after my people, to the human race. That's where my legion stands. So it's step by step. It's, you know, it's different legions to different people. However, the most important legion is to the higher power that make it possible for me and us to breathe every day. You know, people have a tendency to say, well, God don't exist because I can't see, I never saw him. And it's, I like to say, well, you don't see air when you breathe it. You don't see your heart when it's beating, but you know it's there. So the biggest thing about us as humans is not our physical form, because we all see that that's what's left. That's just a shell, just a skin to house the real individual that's inside, the spiritual person, the soul. And as I was saying earlier, how many of us are actually striving to save our souls and in return save the souls of the young individuals that are out here losing their lives because they're lost? And most of it is due to men and women not being able to communicate properly and not being able to put their children's best interest before theirs. And when I say my allegiance to myself, I mean, I have to make sure that I'm good in order to be able to take care of my children. If I'm not good, my wife is not good, if we're in turmoil, guess what? The whole family's in turmoil. And this is what we're dealing with. Each and every day, there's turmoil. There's turmoil in the manner that many American black men believe that women are too harsh. And they believe that they're too stubborn and too stuck in their ways, you know. Now, and many women believe that all men are dogs. All men will cheat. So with those outlooks that we have about each other, how do we come together and work through those? How do we put those differences aside long enough to be able to do right by our families? Because girls need a father in their life just as much as boys do. What happens, and the other part of what is happening due to fathers not being present, is girls are growing up into women and not knowing what it's like to be loved by a man. Now, they're seeking for love and don't even know what it is. You know, it's everybody wants to be in love and everybody wants to be loved. However, many of us don't even know what it takes to show love or really to give love. We've all been misguided to what love really is. Many of us have the idea that love is supposed to just be bliss. We're supposed to be happy every day, floating on clouds, sunshine all the time. Reality tells us that's not so. All we have to do is examine the universe. The universe explains a lot of information or a lot of reasons why things are the way they are and how things are going to be. For example, you know, the seasons. When you look at the seasons, there's summer, winter, fall, you know, and spring. So there's a time where a relationship is blooming. It's blooming. Everything is going right, you know, in the spring. It's just springing up. Everybody, you're hitting it off just fine, each of you. Then it comes to summer. Now it's hot and heavy. Now you're totally into the person. It's like just you and this person, and nothing else matters. Then stuff start to cool off. You're not calling each other every day. You don't want to see each other every day. You know, start to change. Then it gets to the winter, where now you're cold. You're cold towards each other. You don't even want to talk to each other. However, if we stick in there long enough and we learn to communicate properly, we can work through the seasons and get back to the spring and be ready to go through it all over again. We have to know that these seasons manifest in the forms of us as individuals, life, and relationships. Things could be good for you sometimes. Sometimes things is coming. You're getting money. You got a good job. Everything's going well. You know? Then all of a sudden, you know, things, you know, you're getting the money, but the bills are taking your money up, you know, so he's not seeing as much money as you would like. Then it gets to a point where you feel like you're just working for nothing, you know? These are life occurrences. Many people are becoming less equipped to deal with life occurrences because most of us are starting to be on individualism, where it's about us doing everything for ourselves and F everybody else. If that was the case, according to the scriptures, then when Allah made Adam, he would have just left Adam here by himself. He just left Adam and nothing, no one else. So it's not meant for individuals to be alone. The only entity that is said to be able to be alone, that's the creator. whom I call Allah. We need each other. We need people. We need company. Maybe not every day. As I said, there's different seasons. There's, you know. And, you know, back on the love thing is with the love, it rains. You know, so sometimes love gonna cause you some pain and you may end up shedding some tears. Love may cause you to get cold. You know what I mean? It may just freeze where it is for a while. You know, that's because we start getting into tug of wars of who's right, who's wrong, who is willing to bend, and then what happens now, you got a standstill. Nobody's willing to say, look, I'm wrong, or you're right, or how can we come up with something that is a compromise where we both can feel comfortable with the solution. That's the key to longevity in a relationship. You have to be willing to do things for the person you love, even at times where you may not really even want to do it. That's when you are able to do that, you're working on your way to love. And my other personal favorite that I like to, you know, share with you all is I believe it's better to learn to love compared to falling in love. Now, many of you might be like, what's the difference? What's the difference between learning to love or falling in love? What is the difference? The difference between falling and learning, when you fall in love with either what a person is showing you, and it's not truly who they are, or you fall in love with what you want them to be, what you think they are, and what you believe they are. And lots of times, none of that is true. And then when you start to find out that who you thought this person was and who you want this person to be, you know, and who you expect this person to be, is not who the person is, now your feelings hurt. Now you feel like you've been played, but you wasn't played. You fell for something that you wanted, and the person may have presented what you wanted as long as they were able to put that front up. And then it came a time where they actually realized, this is not who I am. Or maybe they was that person, but we vow. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. Let's talk about it. You're live.
Pardon me. I got to call a listener that want to listen to the show.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You calling them? You calling them now?
Yeah, I'm calling them now. Somebody wants to listen to the show. So. Soon as they pick up.
Okay, and I'm talking to Mr. S. Love right now. Ain't I?
Mr. who?
Mr. S. Love.
Mr. S. Love. Oh, yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening to a home. I just was saying, but that's a lot of good. That's a good point. That's a good point. Me, like, you know, I really feel like that love is like it's almost like sometimes when they say heaven and hell is conditions and not places. It's like, that's kind of like how I feel about love. I kind of feel like people and they in love with the thought of being in love. You know what I mean? Instead
absolutely.
Of,
that, yeah.
Like, it's so many people, they so busy chasing love. Like, they chasing love like it's no... it's no point in life where you say, well, maybe love ain't all it's wrapped up to be right now. And I don't mean like just throw away love, because I mean you still gotta love your children. You still gotta love things you might like to do. You still got to love them, but I'm talking about a love in a relationship. I'm saying maybe sometimes people should point their love in a different direction, like maybe learn to love themselves. Because, you know, people quick to say, oh, I love myself. But do you really love yourself? Because if you really loved yourself, it's a lot of ways you could break that down, because if you really loved yourself, would you let certain people treat you the way they treat you? If you really loved yourself, would you subject yourself to different poisons that you put in your body? If you really loved yourself, would you walk would you walk in a direction that you know is not like somebody who might be getting high every day, but you really love yourself, or smoking cigarettes every day, but you love yourself, using cocaine every day, heroin, or, you know what I mean, just doing things that might be detrimental to yourself. So, like, people like to throw the love word around, and I just think it's levels to it. And when I say, like, I miss the F love, I just mean, like, right now in my life, I just rather love myself.
Okay.
Than loving somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think all the points you made were super valid. I think this is the reason earlier why I said that people want love, but they don't really know what love is. You know, because a lot of people...
Right.
Haven't really received true love. A lot of people base
right.
love on what you do for them. You know what I mean? If you go and if you, you know, you buy me stuff and you take me places, they equate that for love. Now, that's a part of love to do that for someone, but that's not totally what love is. As you said,
right.
it's levels. And
right.
I think I agree with you when you say that people need to take time to learn themselves, to learn to love themselves. What happens way too often is people go from one relationship to another relationship while the pain or whatever went wrong in that relationship is still fresh. It's like having a open wound, and then you start rubbing salt on that open wound, you know, because now anything this person do, it's gonna give you flashbacks of your past relationship, and you're gonna start reacting on this person possibly the way you didn't react with the other person. You know, so sometimes we carry in residual pain and taking it out on people who don't deserve it. So now this person who's ready to love meets this person who's already in pain, and it messes up the person who's ready for love. Now this person is discombobulated and needs to take a break. So when I
that's what I said too.
Yeah.
It's almost like I think I said earlier on a different show, it's like meeting the right person at the wrong time or meeting the wrong person at the right time. You know what I mean? It's almost like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do believe, and see, because we are human, and many of us evolve and change. So what I liked 5 years ago, I may not like all those same things now. So that's why love is so complicated because, okay, maybe I used to like going out to the bars and taking a drink and this, that, and the other. Now, I might like to go to shows. I might like just sitting down, looking at you face to face and having a good conversation. You know? So things change. People change. So when people change, sometimes the partner don't change at the same pace. And that becomes a problem as well, because if I change and don't really want to go to bars and then my partner wants to go to bars, now we're in a tug of war. So now I may say, well, I'm going to go to the bar for you. Let's talk about it all. You live. Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. You live.
What's up, my brothers?
What's going on,
hey,
my brother?
Good.
This is Miles.
How are you, brother Miles?
Miles.
How y'all brothers feeling?
We're great.
All right.
We're great.
I've been listening to y'all from Jump Street, and I think the first thing we got to do as human beings is, like my brother said earlier, love ourselves first. You know, we got to get ourselves in a spot where that we sure, you know, that we are serious about who we are, and not just going for anything. And I got this thing called 90-day rule thing. You know, because most of the time when we meet a girl, especially men, we want a good looking girl, booming body, face, the whole nine yards, and then the ones that could be the messed up ones. And then we look past the other one, like the ordinary girl who ain't all that pretty, and just see like that's there. We tend to, you know, bypass them. But I believe if you're trying to find you a good girl and you meet one, I think the best thing to do is like try to you know how you say figure you know find what's that point. I don't know how to say it because you said it earlier. You got to figure out this, is this the woman you really want? So you like, you know, I don't think we should jump into sex right away. Get to know one each other.
Absolutely.
You know, get to know each other. Get to know each other. You know, go out, do things together, and see if, you know, y'all both got something in common. And if y'all both have a difference, you know, it still can work. But like you said, if I go to a club and I meet a girl and we get along and like 6 months later I don't want to go to the club no more, but she still want to go to the club, I look at it like, okay, why you keep going to the club? What you looking for? You know, we could do other things in hitting the club, like you said, go to movie theaters, even shows, stuff like that, do different things. But we gotta find out if this is the woman I want in my life. And the best way to do that is spend time with one another, see what she like, what's her dislikes, what kind of man she looking for, what kind of woman I'm looking for. Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to date women because they want so much. You know, if you're not financially sound, most likely they're going to find somebody who are. And like, you know, we as men, you know, we want that girl who got a booming body. And that's most of the time where we make our mistakes at, too, because we be going after trophies instead of women.
Absolutely. That's a part of the outer person. That's why I was speaking earlier about substance within, the spiritual part. And that's where many of us, and women are doing the same thing. Women are being attracted to men for things other than characteristics. You know, these are superficial things. Superficial things like, you know, money and, you know, I mean, money is a necessity. However, because a person have money and he's nice looking, or a guy is good in bed, don't necessarily mean that he's a good father material. He's a good man. If you got children, don't necessarily mean he's a good man to have around your children. So with women, they have to be mindful of this, and men as well. We have to be mindful because we're meeting women, we're having babies, and then there's no connection after the baby's born, and we going left. We breaking camp.
And you know, they got
now the woman's.
No, go ahead, because I was about to say what you just said on that is, you know, when you got a girl, you got kids, especially daughters. They looking for father figures, especially the kind that treat their mother real good. You know, if your daughter see you how you treating your wife, and you're at home. That's the kind of man I want too, like a daddy figure. You know, like all that kids grow up, I want a man like my dad, you know, father figures, who show them how to, you know, this is how a man's supposed to treat a woman. And they want to be treated the same way. And like your son see, like, see, my dad teach me this is how you're supposed to treat a woman. You don't be beating on them, hitting on them, and all this stuff like that. So then they know what kind of woman to look for. And if you got a kid,
because
like you said, when a guy meet a girl who got kids, now if this guy is not into your kids, you got to let him go. You know, because your kids is a package deal. You know, you got two or three kids, and this guy want to get with you, and he don't want to spend time with your kids, or like, you know, always trying to get you, let's go do something by ourselves and your kids not involved. That's not the kind of guy you want in your life. Because your kids is a part of you. That's the way I see it.
Welcome to Let's Talk About It All. You're live.
Hi, good evening. How you doing, guys?
Good evening.
Hey. I'm glad she's on the phone because I wanted to ask one of it. That question, I wanted to ask a woman that question instead of a guy.
Can I ask you that question? We want to get some more women, too. Go ahead, sister.
My sister, is it possible that most young girls grow up wanting looking for a father figure?
I don't think that we know it, but deep down, as we're looking, we are looking for that type of father because when I started dating, I didn't know what I was looking for. But as I start getting to be with guys, I start noticing that they were nothing like my father.
Right.
You know, so I didn't start looking for my father, but I started taking note that they didn't have the tendencies or the traits that my father had.
Right.
What I was going to say is that this love thing is you have to be friends first.
Exactly.
Love got to come after that, because when you meet a person, you got to sit down with them, like the gentleman said. I have a 90-day rule, too. You sit down with them, you go out, you get to see how, you know, like you go out and you eat. Maybe you watch how they eat and you be like, whoa, I don't know. The way he eating, I don't know about to deal with that. Or, you know, you go to a movie, oh, he's snoring or he's not watching a movie, or his friends, you know, then you start kind of knowing how the person you're with, can you deal with it or you can't. And then as time go on, you start putting the things that you know, you could deal with and the things that you really like about them. And as time go on, you'll start looking at traits of them, and then your heart start growing fonder because you spend the time. And then love creeps in. And then once love creeps in to your relationship, that's when you start working on bettering each other. Like you come against one, and then you start wanting more for that person should want more for you, should want more for together, and then you start thinking. And it doesn't matter. I think, okay, I'm going to tell you, it's not a good scenario, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I want to tell you something. I had my daughter when I was 16. I didn't really enjoy being pregnant or having a baby young, so I never really thought about that I was going to have a human being. So the day I had her, I looked over there in the bassinet, and I fell in love with her when I just looked at her. So in my heart, that day I decided that I was going to love her beyond anything on this earth. I wasn't going to do anything around her. I wasn't going to let nobody do nothing to her. I wasn't going to have men around her. I wasn't going to party. I wasn't going to do drugs, because this was a human being that was going to depend on me. So I grew to really care about my daughter to the fullest, that we are best friends, even though I'm her mother. So the same thing with a guy. When you meet a opposite sex, you have to look at them and start befriending them and let your love grow. Like the gentleman that was talking, he's my brother, but he always say that he don't believe in love. All believe in love. It's only a four-letter word. He loved who he loved. He just probably never loved of the opposite sex, because I'm quite sure in life he loved somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But he have let some people hurt him. But we all hurt. We all hurt in relationships. But we can't let that defeat us. But let me tell you, my last husband did some big damage to me. And not physically, but mentally. That I haven't dated in like 6 years. But I finally said, look, if you're going to keep holding on to what happened, or you're going to move forward. So, like, I'm working on, like one of you said, myself. So now I think I'm worthy to get out there in the field and meet whatever brothers God is going to bring me. And I know people say, oh, God. But I say God because, see, God knows me. I don't know myself. When I'm asking for somebody to come into my life, I'm asking for somebody to come in for me, who's going to care about me, who is for the betterment of me, want to do something for the betterment of both of us. I don't want nobody to come and say, oh, okay, this is an older lady, or she got whatever. I'm gonna get in there. She's gonna take care of me. I don't want a package. You know what I mean? I want an open book that we can work together and write our own pages in life. That's what I want.
You're right about that.
And you mentioned something, sister, that I was saying before. Like you said, when you was younger, you didn't even know what you were looking for, and I think that's the problem. People want to be in love, but they don't really know, you know, what it is to love. So sometimes you know, people have somebody who actually loved them, but because they're not ready for it, they can't accept it. They're not open to it. They reject it. Many people get rejected who really ready to love and ready to show love and have a decent understanding of what love is. See, but a lot of people are unaware of love, and it takes time. Like you said, you want to get to know a person. That's a part of learning to love versus what I was saying earlier, falling in love.
Do you know how many people are in relationships and they're not happy and they just stay with the person? Like, they know it's never going to get better, but they just stay with the person. The person treats them like they want to be. They don't want to be treated. They treat the other person. They ignore each other. They just cohabitate. Like, I think it's so sad that a relationship is a blessing, and people don't even take it and go with it. Like, what is the word where people always say you forgive and you forget? But it's people that live together and things happen, and they, oh, don't forget them. Want to take them through hard times. Like, life, I always say this no matter when I talk to anybody, life is too short to be staying with people and you're not happy. You could be happy by yourself.
Well, you know, you got a point. Some people think that, you know, they can't do no better than that, so they stick with that. And like you said earlier, and when you do get hurt a lot, some people fall, you know, like they're afraid to go trying to find another love. They're like, man, I ain't going to do that no more. It hurts too much. And then they just sit around and just take whatever, you know, and it don't turn out right for them. And like you said, if you dating somebody you ain't happy with, there's something wrong there. I don't know why you staying there then, unless you're afraid you ain't going to find nobody else or that this is the best you can do.
I was married for 10 years, and I wasn't probably the person he really wanted, but at that time, he needed me because he didn't like where the type of life he was living. So he made me unhappy by saying words, you know, little things. But I know no matter what, I still loved him. But as time went on, about myself, so as the relationship went or the marriage went, he cheated on me. He start saying stuff like, or you gain weight, you bigger than what you was than when I married you, or you all you do is spend money, you know, stuff that you knew that when you met me, then you like to have sex more than I do. What the hell are you talking about? You wanted sex because you was having it to get with me. Now all of a sudden you with me, you don't want to have sex? That's bullshit. And sorry for cursing, you know, sometimes I get emotional.
The thing that you were saying is now to when you say why people stay in relationships, like you said, you loved him. And sometimes what happens is, because people don't really understand what love is and how to express love, they're unhappy because they don't know. And they really love each other. Sometimes you really love the person. That's why they don't want to leave, because they actually love the person. But sometimes we need help. Like, you know, therapy and counseling is good. However,
no, the thing is,
I'm talking about therapy and counseling with other married couples. We don't do
yeah,
that.
We did that too.
Excuse me, do you guys think that when you do that in a relationship like that, you think that you don't waste part of your life? Like, wasting some years when you could have been out there doing or finding something better or doing something better? Like, it was a waste of time?
I'll be 64 next month, and out of my whole life, I've been in 4 relationships. And I really feel bad that I spent, like, half of my life with the wrong people. Half of my life. I'm 64. You know what I'm saying? So when I say something to people, I'm saying it from experience when I talk about staying with people. I'm not talking about something off the top of my head. I'm telling you, I lived it. I was there. Don't let your life go by and then you be like sitting back and saying, you can't get your youth back. You can't. Once you lived it, it's over.
Yeah, I know how you feel. I'm 60. I'm 65. I went through that same thing, and I, it just like I didn't know what was I was thinking of.
Yeah, I mean,
I kept saying to myself, you know, after it was all over, I said, man, I should have been left that girl and found somebody else that did something else. And it took me a while to, like, to accept the fact that it happened, you know, get over it and keep, you know, keep it moving. But, you know, it just like I actually sat around and thought about, yo, man, I waste like 7 years with this girl. I really felt that.
I mean, people become complacent, and it's another thing. You're hoping that the situation changes.
Yeah.
You're putting forth effort, and maybe that person is not putting forth enough effort. You know. And
yeah. Did you ask yourself?
Maybe the person
doesn't
know how.
Yeah, because you keep
saying
maybe.
Don't know how.
Yeah, maybe things have changed. Maybe this will change and things will get better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like, years go by, he's like, ain't nothing changing.
Right.
It's still the same. So how do you get out? You know, you don't want to hurt their feelings. And especially, God forbid, especially if you got kids involved too, you know.
Right.
It's not good
to
stay together because of the kids. You two really ain't really, like, getting it on or it ain't really working.
It's different now because when our parents, when we were more younger and our parents were together and they had problems or your father was, you know, messing with people on the outside, it didn't bother us as kids because we still had shelter, we ate, he did stuff with us, and life went on regular, you know what I'm saying? Like your father didn't mess his home up, whatever he was doing on the outside. But see, our generation, we don't know how to separate that. So whatever we do, our kids are involved. Our kids see us go through stuff. Our kids, you know, hear stuff they don't need to be hearing. You know, it's a whole different. This a different normal for us as parents now. You know what I mean? Like kids say what they want to say to their parents. Fathers and mothers pull their kids out of context. It's not like I couldn't even imagine my mother or father cursing at me or calling me out of my name. You know what I mean? Like I'm your child. Like where's the love at? Like no matter what.
Yeah, my
going
father,
through,
mother never. Our father, and mother never called us out of our name. But they didn't. You know, they never did that. Cause you're right. Cause when I hear kids talk to their mother like they do, my nephew. God forbid, I thank God every day for this because I came close to, like, choking him out because he was calling his mother all kinds of MFs and stuff. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, is this my nephew? And then I turn around, it was him. I almost choked him out because it really ticked me off. You don't talk to your mother like that.
Yeah.
Now, that's another situation. When you look at that, and 9 out of 10 times, when sons express that type of behavior with their mothers or whatever, their mothers turn around and reward them. So it's difficult to stop that type of behavior when you're being rewarded for it.
Yeah.
And you know, and I see that quite often with women. And this is why I say that it's important to, even if you can't make it together, to be able to raise them children together. Because
and you're right. She did reward them. And all that happened over a jacket he wanted. And she didn't have the money. He just went ballistic on her, man. And then she ended up giving it to him. I'm like, she can't
right,
do that.
She found the way to do it.
Yeah, so you can't do that. If you keep doing that, he's going to keep acting like that because all you got to do is have a fit and you give him what he wants.
Right. Now, fast forward, when he get into a relationship with a woman, he expects the same thing.
Yeah.
And instead of verbal, he start getting physical to get what he wants. So it's a cycle that is occurring that's not being nipped in the bud early enough, and it's just going out and it's just being spread like wildfire. So we have to, you know, intervene. We have to intervene at some point. This is why I'm saying that we have to find ways. Like on this show, there, I would hope that it was more women speaking than just Lisa, because that's how we get to know one another. We, the reason we can't get to know one another as men and women, because most times the only time we communicate with each other is if we're attracted to each other. So how do you get to know? And once you've got that attraction, now you're not going to be completely open with who you are and what you expect and things of that nature, because now you're kind of shielded because you want the person to like you, and that goes both ways. So we need to have the conversations where there's no attraction involved so that we can really start to understand each other better. And the problem is men and women just don't understand each other. Because
you know, I used to do that when I was
enough openly.
When I was going to college, yeah. And you know how you go in the class, you wait for the professor to come? I used to sit there and ask the guys, and, you know, look at the girls in here and tell me, you know, if you was trying to date that girl, how would you approach her? And I would tell them, girls, how would, you know, if this guy approached you this way, how would you feel about her? What would you think? I try to get a conversation between all the guys and the girls in the classroom to talk about, you know, how guys approach them, how to respect one another. It got to the point, man, we used to wait in the hallway, and when that door opened, the guys used to run in there first, and I used to stop them, you know, because I'm a 6 foot, 350-pound guy. I'd be standing in the doorway. They said, well, I said, no, won't you let the ladies go in first? And I used to do it, like, for, like, a week straight, because these guys were like, yeah, you know, college guys, right? So about 2 weeks later, they stopped, and they started letting the girls go in first. And then the girls was in the class start talking to them different. And I used to say, see, all you got to do is just show some respect to these women, and they show some back. Because they ain't just a piece of meat, homies. And I was like, you know, here I am. I'm old enough to be their father, their grandfather. And it just, you know, because I got sisters and I got nieces, and I don't want no guy to treat my niece or my sister the way I see guys treat women. Because I tell her, I say, yo, man, you see the way you talk to that girl? What if somebody was talking to your sister like that? How would you feel? He told me, oh, man, I'll punch him in his face. Oh, why are you going to punch him in the face for talking to your sister like that? But you talking to that girl like that? Nah, man, you don't understand. I don't understand. I just don't get it.
Right, but you just gave the scenario with your nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Why they do it.
Okay.
Why they do it, because they grow up doing it to their mom. So
yeah.
Once you're doing it to your mom, if you do it to your mom, you do it to anybody.
Exactly.
You know? So that's what's happening. And that's the stuff that has to be nipped in the bud. We have to really, you know, be able to overcome this stuff. But like,
I do got to respect that. His father got out of prison. And then he took him in with him from his mom. His mom said, look, go live with your dad. And, you know, he's been acting better now. You know, his father's doing good. And he got his son still with him. But, he treating his mother a whole lot better than before, because I think he, you know, his father probably put some fear into him. Like, don't make me, you know how you think.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing that I say about having men. They're going to give them discipline, they're going to give them structure, and they're going to give them guidance.
Yeah.
That's the things that you, that's what, you, if a woman meets a man and she has children, that's what she wants a man to be able to do. Even if he doesn't have a lot of money, if he had those qualities where he can give your children structure, guidance, and, you know, discipline, you need that, because especially with boys, because once a boy get a certain height and age, he starts feeling like, look, mom, you can't make me do nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
And I feel the same way about me. If I'm a father and I got daughters, I want a woman, you know, who can actually, you know, mingle with my kids and understand, you know, get along with them. As like, you know, I'm not looking for a mother, but I am looking for somebody who's going to treat my kids with the love and respect that I want them to be treated with. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Way, you know, you want a man to deal with your kids. I want a woman the same way. When I, you know, if I'm a single father with kids, you know, respect my kid. Don't come in there acting like, you know, you're crazy, because it ain't going to work.
Absolutely. You know, so I'm hoping that, you know, in the future we get more women start to open up, you know.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
On the line, sisters, open up, you know. Huh?
Yes. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I love your show. You know, your show has done a lot for me. I would just like to say something, but I'm not disrespecting you. And the gentleman on the other line. But tomorrow I start my own podcast, and I'm going to have it's for older people. We're going to be talking about relationship. So I would like to invite you and a gentleman. They listen to me tomorrow, my first show.
My name is Miles. I live right
Miles,
here in Patterson.
What time?
It started at 8 o'clock. It's going to be an hour. I'm going to have a speaker, special speaker, older gentleman. And we're going to talk about older relationships. So I'm not disrespecting your show. I love your show. But
No, that's you. You're my sister. You're welcome.
But I have.
Hey, is this going to be the same number as this one?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I love Shadi, and I wouldn't ever want to disrespect your show, because you've been letting me come in
educated
me.
Promote your show.
And made me grow. And
we can come support your show too. That's what shows like these for.
I
don't like to take away from other people, but you know, I really respect him, and that's why I wanted to ask, would it be okay if I spoke on it?
No, it's fine.
You know,
it's fine. It's definitely fine. And whoever listening, I want them to tune in too. You know, of course.
Yeah, see, I like Shadé. I ain't loving him now.
This is what it's all about. You know, we as a people have to start, you know, being a collective, not just the individual. We got to do things collectively. So, of course, you know, yeah, I'm glad you made me aware. You know, Jay mentioned it, but I wasn't too sure about the time. I'm definitely going to tune in, you know. Because I'm, you know, you're my
sister.
One thing,
from Monday to Sunday, I'm on podcast, 18 of them. I go from one, right after I get off this one, I'm going to another one. I just got off one about domestic violence, and I came here on this one. And then I got another one right after this one I'm going to be on. And tomorrow I'm going to be on three more. I'm down with it, because you learn a lot from when you go on these things, and, you know, you hear what people are saying, and you think that some of the stuff you hear, like, oh, I ain't knew that, because I'm going through the same thing. I thought about that. Oh, I ain't knew, you know, because you never know. You always think that you're the only one going through something, and there's somebody else going through the same thing. You learn from that. And being that I'm 65, I would love to hear what your older people have to say.
Might even find a love connection. Who knows?
No, because see, I just had broke up with a girl who was 40 years old, and I was like, wait, you way too young for me. You know, we did 2 years together, but I started realizing I can't keep up with that girl. I really can't, man. I told her, find somebody close to your age. You know, do what you got to do, but I can't keep up with her.
Yeah,
you know when enough is enough.
You want two different things out of life at this point.
Yeah, and the good thing about it, we still good friends too. We talk and converse. She done found her a new man. I'm happy for her. You know, I'm glad that she's doing. I say, see, now he's 3 years older than her. I say, see, y'all got it going on. You have a good time. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, but I'm like you though. Like Wednesdays, I always tell my brother, clue me in so I can hear Sade. I listen to my brothers. I don't know about a lot of the other ones, but I've learned so much within this time about stuff. And then I love that they chime in and let me tell my opinion, because I feel like if I could tell you about my story, maybe I could help someone not go through what I went through in life and make it better for them.
You know what I get from you? I get from you when I listen to you, I get to know certain things I could, you know, talk to a woman about that I didn't know before. And, you know, some of the things you feel with a relationship with a man. Because, you know, when we, like you said, there's so many women out here, and then you try to find the right one and try to do the right thing. You know, you try to figure women out. Because women, they always say, well, you don't know what a woman thinks. You don't know what. See, well, when women talk, I do listen. I do listen, because I know one thing, women can remember stuff like 2 years ago. And we be talking, I don't remember that, but she remembered the date, time, and everything. And like my mother always said, when a woman talk, you better listen. And my mother said, she had 14 kids. She told all her sons, you know, if you had a choice to put your girlfriend first or me first, who would you pick? And, you know, we asked, man, like, Ma, you know we're going to put you first. She blasted us for that. She said, don't do that. I said, well, she said, Ma, she said, look, I know you guys love me, but this girl you dating, that could be your wife, the mother of your kids. You always got to put her first. You know, not ahead of God and all that, but when don't choose between her and your, you know, me, because if you lose, that's on you. And we, like, looked at each other like, damn, we didn't know that much, because, you know, we know how guys love their mother. But,
yeah,
you know, you got to put your girl.
I wish more people just would listen, because we as black people, we got to start listening to each other. Not just that, start sticking together, joining each other. Because, like I said, from the podcast, I have learned so much about you men, too. Like how you feel. So if I start out to date someone, I kind of know what not to say or what not to go into what area, because I'm going too deep in. So it has helped me out a lot too. It really truly has, the podcasts that I do listen to.
Yeah, like they always say, don't jump in the deep end of the pool. Start at the beginning. Work your way up to that.
I'm grateful that you know, that the podcast has been helpful to the two of you. I'm hoping that it's been helpful to everyone else that's listened. I'm gonna read something that I really want you guys, if you like this, I'm not gonna read all of it. I'm only gonna read a little bit of it, but I'm doing other things and that's separate from the podcast.
Right.
But I'd be recording these things on my YouTube page. So it's other thoughts that it's like, all right, this is what it is. I'm speaking to you all as an American with the hope that I might be able to renew all of your hearts and minds as American citizens, along with those who are seeking to become American citizens. I have to ask each of you this question: which other nationality of people that lives in America has been portrayed to have been in America since the 1600s and have been used to build wealth for their slave masters without receiving any compensation other than fear, violence, rape, separation, brutality, degradation, humiliation, castration, and manipulation? And it goes on. I'm just cutting it right there because we're kind of short.
Hey.
if you want to hear, the rest of it,
I heard you say that today, and it was a wonderful statement. I heard it today on your post you had, and that's why I said to my brother and a couple other people, I got to get in the house. I got to listen to this podcast tonight. So yes, that was a powerful thing that you said. You really do know how to get through to people. You're not a radical, but you're a person. I don't know the word for it, but you're a person that you really want to get out and educate your people. And I know a little bit of your background, like the things you have built in Patterson. So I know that you're well qualified to get where you need to be.
See, I know so too, Shade. But when you speak, you know, people listen. You know, it make people think when they hear what you're saying. Because, see, they understand what you're saying, and you ain't talking gibberish or talking crazy. You're talking serious issues that's going on in this country. And we got to be aware of that, and we got to start paying attention to that. And when you speak on that stuff like that, people actually sit there, they can sit back and put their phone on mute and just listen to you like, yeah, that brother's right. You know, he's right, because I didn't even think about that before, but he's right. Just like today, you know, right now in this country, they trying to ban black histories in school. You can't teach that in school anymore. They trying to take that away from us. They don't want us to know about our heritage. They don't want us to know about 400 years of slavery and stuff.
They never really gave us our just due when it comes to our heritage anyway. Now, this is another one. I don't know if you guys heard this one. What is it with the LGBTQ? Are they being considered a new nationality? I'm curious, because I believe whether you are a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer, it's not totally who you are. It's just a part of who you are. I personally believe that it's just who you identify as sexually. If I'm wrong, please let me know. I'm bringing this up because we as a society went from watching TV shows when a man and a woman slept in separate beds to watching TV shows and commercials where two men or two women is kissing each other.
Right.
Are we one nation under God, or are we one nation where man is playing God? I'm an American black man, and I have no problem with who anyone chooses to love or sleep with. What I do have a problem with is allowing children under 18 to choose what they want to identify as other than the assigned sex at birth. America, I think it's hypocritical to give someone like R. Kelly 30 years for having sex with young girls at 16 or 17 years old, and on the other hand, produce a law that would permit a 13 or 14-year-old to display the mental intelligence to choose what gender they want to be. And so forth and so on. But these are like issues that I post. If anyone is listening, you can go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. It's at ANDREHILL 9. At ANDREHILL 9. And we're going to end it with that tonight. I pray to all of you who are on the lines that our hearts and minds grow closer towards each other and closer towards our family members so that we will be able to move beyond our differences and focus on learning to love, forgive, and work together towards building a better world for us all.
Now, the sister, are you thinking
said,
tomorrow? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were It's
tomorrow.
Is this going to be the same number on this number right here, right?
Yes.
Or is it a different number?
Same
number.
It's going to
be the same number, Miles.
Okay, same number tomorrow at 8?
Yes,
okay.
I'll be there. Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I would like to thank you all for spending your precious moments with us. And anything that I said was insightful and helpful came from Allah, and anything that I said was unclear and confusing came from me, and I ask your forgiveness. God bless. Have a great night. Love you all. See you next Wednesday.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Alaikum salam.
No, he did not play this song.
In a little tent. Oh, and to
fly. That's the song, man. We got to keep going.
That's
it.
That's
it.
It's been a long
change. Change going to come. You just got to stick in there and work together, man. Change going to come.
Change
I used to
DJ, come.
Man. This,
Oh, yes,
we the change that we've been waiting to see. We are that change.
But I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movies and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to mine and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But now I think I'm able to carry. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.